Many Christian denominations celebrate the Eucharist, in which the Last Supper is reenacted to honor the sacrifice of Jesus. Commentator Lauren Winner wanted to take her participation in the Eucharist a little bit farther than serving on the altar.
Every Sunday at about 9:30, I stand in front of my priest and cup my hands, and he says, "The body of Christ, the bread of heaven." I say, "Amen," and lift the bread of heaven to my mouth and chew and swallow. I believe this receiving the Eucharist is the place where I most really meet Christ, the place where reality is most real. I believe it is the most important thing I do each week. You don't have to have any particular type of bread for the Eucharist. A priest I know was once backpacking with his wife. They celebrated communion with a pizza crust. A few years ago, I had a summer teaching stint in Maryland. I attended Sunday morning worship at a little brick church out in the country. They were a bit depleted that summer. Most of the altar guild was vacationing elsewhere, gone perhaps to little stone churches in the mountains for the hot summer months. I volunteered to help Viv, the lone altar guilder left at home, bake Eucharist bread. When I turned up at her house on Wednesday evening, she had everything laid out on her yellow kitchen counters: whole wheat flour, white flour, and bottles of sparkling water. "Perrier?" I asked. "Oh, yes," said Viv. "I always use Perrier in the Eucharistic bread. Mark 14:6, don't you know?" I racked my brain. I had no idea what Mark 14:6 was. "It's the story of Jesus and the woman at Bethany," Viv explained. I gave her a blank look. Where was Bethany? "The story where the woman comes to Jesus just before Passover and anoints him with the most expensive perfume. All his enemies grouse that she shouldn't have wasted such nice perfume on Jesus' feet. They tell her she should have sold the perfume and given the money to the poor, but Jesus says that she did the right thing, spending her rich perfume on him. 'The poor will always be with you,' he says, 'but I will not always be with you.'" Viv ripped open a bag of flour, and a white cloud burst out with a poof. I take from that story the lesson that when we do something for Jesus, especially something as important as the Eucharist, we shouldn't just use ordinary ingredients, we should use the finest ingredients. Making Eucharistic bread with tap water would be an insult, don't you think? So I always use Perrier. Making the bread was simple. We stirred together half a cup of whole wheat flour and half a cup of white flour with half a cup of the Perrier, and then we pressed the dough onto a cookie sheet. 375, said Viv, sliding the cookie sheet into the oven, preheated. After 15 minutes, we flipped the dough over, baked it for 5 more minutes, and then flipped it again. 5 final minutes, said Viv, then you're done. Viv sent me an email a few weeks after I left Maryland. She wrote to tell me that she had just finished reading a novel she thought I would like, and that Pastor Rose had given a wonderful sermon about evangelism. Then she wrote, "P.S. I was just pulling your leg about the Perrier. I don't really use it because of Mark 14. I use it because it helps the bread rise. The bubbles make up for the missing leaven. That's why you should always use sparkling water in your Eucharistic bread."
That commentary was adapted from Lauren Winner's book, Girl Meets God.